So how do you raise this up here for us taller people? Yeah, well, preaching is not the word I would use for what I'm about to do here, but I will share a message, and I will share what I've learned. So it's amazing to see some old, fresh faces back. Pookie, my daughter, Takoya. We love her. We're glad she's back for the day. Arlene. I mean, it's awesome. Shannon, haven't seen Shannon for a while. Nancy, Rebecca. I know I'm going to miss everybody, but it's awesome. And I want to give thanks to the worship team here again. I was sitting back there listening. And over the last 2 weeks, you know, well, John isn't here today. Leslie steps in, and the worship is amazing. And Eddie was out last week, and it was still amazing. And then when you bring everybody together, it's even better. And I'm going to tell this little story, if you don't mind, Kay, if I can. And Eddie, yeah, last week, Kay noticed that you weren't here last week. So she approached me and said, what's wrong? I said, well, Eddie had to go out of town. I think he's visiting some friends. And serious as a heart attack, she looks at me and says, he didn't ask my permission. I really love the drums up here. So I want to thank everybody and the folks that support. It really helps us get in the mood. So why am I up here today and not Pastor Deb? Some of you have not seen me up here before, and you're going, wow, I didn't know he could do that. Hold your opinion, okay? All right? Some of you have seen me up here before, and they're going, wow, why is he up there? Right? So as I remember the last time I was up here, I was trying to do something fancy with a pad, and that did not work out too well. So we're going to go back to paper, all right? So anyway, what started as a week ago Thursday, as you know, Deb's going through some issues, medical issues. And on a week ago Thursday, I think it was, or maybe Friday, her IVIG appointments were scheduled, and that was supposed to be 5 infusions, 4 hours a day all this week. And when you read the side effects that they tell you, it'd be flu-like symptoms, fatigue, headaches. Her first thought was, well, I might not be prepared to preach. Let's find a substitute preacher. I don't know what happened. I said, I'll do it. Because my first thought was, you know, the elders of the church should be prepared to preach at any time. And I'm thinking, Sandy, Joey, Diane. I was not thinking me, okay? But as it struck me, I've had something on my heart here for the last couple months now that God's been put on my heart. And the title of today's thoughts are Obedience, Our Covenant. God's been teaching me a lot. So I'd like to share what I've learned. And so this path started, I'm going to say, I have a specific date. On September 13th, we had our discipleship group meeting of our men's group, and we were challenged by our leader that as we go through our journaling, through the process, can we find a theme and what we think we should do to take action on our on the readings that we take. And for whatever reason, that started the next day. I went back, I looked at my journals, and so I'm not telling a lie. It's like next day, this obedience thing came in mind. And I'm thinking, well, that's probably something I need to learn. Later that week, and I'll touch on that a little bit later, on that Friday, I picked up pneumonia, went to the hospital for 4 days, and during that time that I'm there, I had a little more time to study, and it became a little stronger on me. So I wanted to understand a little bit more what that is, and I think I've been doing a lot of reading on that. So I'm gonna get right to here's what I think I've learned. Okay? It's all about submission, faith, and trust in the Lord. We've all heard that before, right? Through umpteen sermons. Those are all our mindsets, right? Our mindsets. Our obedience to the Lord's commands, though, is the fruit of that mindset. What we do in our actions every day. So before I get into what I want to talk about, I'd just like to offer up a little prayer, if that's okay. Deep breath, right, Deb? Dear Father, I want to thank you for this beautiful day. I want to thank you for the opportunity to worship you today. Let everything I say be your words through my mouth. Father, help me correct anything that I may misspeak. Father, I ask that each and every one here, not just sitting here today, but those listening online, know that we're here for a purpose. We're here to hear something, to glean something, so that we can go forward to be better disciple-making disciples as we go out into the world. And Father, for those folks that can't be here today, let them also know that you have them right where you want them, that there is a lesson there to be learned, that they're loved, that your grace and your mercy rests upon them, and that there's nothing better in our life than to give praise and honor and glory to you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so I believe, okay, because this is about me sharing what I'm learning, okay? So I don't want anybody to think here that it's anything about them. I'm going to share what I believe God is teaching me. And take that and use it as you will. I believe that sometimes I have a misconception of what obedience to Christ really looks like. I don't think I'm special. I might suggest we all have moments when our perception is not clear. And over the last couple of months, God has covered me up with scripture and devotionals about obedience that has culminated in an understanding that our obedience is part of a covenant we enter into with God when we are born again, when we are saved. I'm going to lay out three foundational things. Just three, because Joey can't count past that, okay? So let's lay those out. Number one, I believe all of Scripture teaches God's demand for our submission and obedience to Him for His purposes and glory. Number two, we are all naturally born disobedient, and only by God's grace are we delivered from this state of despair. And number three, our obedience is the fruit of the covenant relationship we enter when we are born again, when we are saved, and it bears witness to our transformation and sanctification. Okay, so number one, Scripture. Deb asked me, she said, what scripture are you going to preach from? I said, I don't know. There's 66 books in the Bible. And I've been from Job, I've been to Matthew, I stayed away from Revelation. That's a tough one right there. And so I pulled some scriptures out that touched me as we were, as I was putting this together, or what God was trying to put on my heart. I just want to share with you. You know, there's 10 commandments in the Bible. We know those. There's 613 laws, a lot of people tell us, or more, in the Old Testament that we need to follow. I bet you most of you don't know, because I didn't know this until I read this recently, that there's over 1,700 rules of behavior in the New Testament for us to behave like Christ. 1,700. I'm going to give credit to John Piper. You could look it up. He put together a good thing on that. Moses gave us the commandments. Jesus came to fill the Old Testament law. And the New Testament writers documented those 1,700 rules to guide us to Christ. How can we possibly obey all these rules? We can't. And ultimately, that is God's point to us. Without His grace, we can't ever be holy. But because we cannot, it does not give us license to disobey any of His commands. Jesus summed it up best for us and simplified it. I'm going to pull out a couple verses. John 14:15. Oh, cool. Somebody's got slides. Thank you, Deb. If you love me, obey my commandments. Note that there is no exclusion here. Jesus is talking about all His commandments, not just the ones we like or fit our circumstances, our desires or wants or needs. All is clearly stated here by its absence. 1 John 4:21. And He has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. He gave us Matthew 22, starting in verse 37. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. As I was putting this together, I found out there are many flavors of obedience, maybe even more than Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors, but I've just pulled out some samples, and I think there's a little bit of something for everyone at every season, in every season or circumstance in our life. For example, let's start with work. Ephesians 6:5 says, "Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ." Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Ephesians 6:1. Can I read that again for my daughter? Love you. Parents, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. It's Ephesians 6:4. Government, everyone must submit to governing authorities. Now, we can have a long conversation on that. That's a whole nother sermon. If you want to talk to me after that, we can. But for the purposes of today, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Romans 13:1. Spouses, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband and make cheesecake. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know how that typo got in there. But that's Ephesians 5:33. Now, these are all actions, right? These are all actions. They're not thoughts. They're not feelings. These are all actions. They are the fruit of the good deeds, right? You know, if you think about a fruit that grows on a tree, you don't see much going on. I mean, there's roots that are deep in the ground sucking up nutrients, and the trunk is there and the leaves and all that. You don't see much going on. So the fruit is kind of the action. You see that bloom in the spring, and you see that fruit grow, and then you pick it, and then you peel it, and you eat it, and all that good stuff. Okay? So I believe, my perspective, what God's teaching me is that our obedience in these actions are the fruit, our good deeds, when we keep our covenant with the Lord. Number two, our sinful nature is to be disobedient. How do I know this? Because God tells us so. I had a conversation early this morning. It's not our fault. We're born that way, right? We are born sinful by our nature. That's not our fault. But it is our fault if we remain there, correct? So my earliest and clearest memory is as a three-year-old child is one of disobedience. And I thought and thought on this, and I got some images and flashes of a dog and a house and mom and dad and all that, and I'm like, I can't get the time frame, but for whatever reason, I have this image of when I'm three, I'm being disobedient. I'm sure I was disobedient prior to that, but I don't recall, so I'm gonna take that, right? So my memory is when I was 3 years old, I had appendicitis. And I remember my dad carrying me into the hospital at the emergency room desk, I guess. I don't know. And then I flash forward. Sometime after surgery, I'm in this room with another young boy. He was the troublemaker because he was like 2 years older than me or something. And I, for whatever reason, I remember his name. His name was Joey Bender, right? And somehow, one of us got these toys to play with. I remember they were like orange or green or whatever, and you pump them and you shoot something, you know. It wasn't Nerf balls at the time. It was way before Nerf balls, so we were shooting plastic things or whatever, but we weren't supposed to. So the nurse came in and caught us shooting these things at each other, and she yelled at us, right? So what's the first thing we did? We listened to her until she left the room, right? So I think our natural tendency is to, you know, not listen. We're born that way. I don't think I'm the only one who has memories of being disobedient to authority. In fact, most of the time when we sit around telling stories about our lives, our past, we eventually devolve into celebrating those events of disobedience. Sometimes we're laughing. Other times we're one-upping each other. We're crowing about how we got away with it. Mom and Dad still don't know what I did till this day. Is there anything you'd like to confess, daughter? No? Okay, I didn't think so. So glad you came today. You're helping me flesh this out. This is awesome. So this is not surprising. As we were born into sin, like I said, I just picked out a couple verses because there's a whole bunch more. And if we believe God's word, this is what he's telling us, right? Romans 7:18, those of us in that have been through Celebrate Recovery and the 12 Steps know this verse. And you see our folks want to blurt it out, jump right in there. And it says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. Romans 3:10, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. Jeremiah 17:9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who knows how bad it is? I know in a couple of our men's groups, we talk about that particular scripture a lot and trying to protect our heart and guard our heart because we cannot trust our heart, right? As natural human beings, we are a disobedient lot with absolutely no chance of ever being holy and being with God eternally. Enter Jesus. When he enters our lives and we accept him as Lord, Savior, and Master, we become spiritual beings in Christ, completely transformed, free to be submissive, obedient servants. Number three. Here's my thesis, okay? Our obedience is the value offered in the covenant we entered into with God when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. This is what God has taught me, okay? Let me say this again, because nobody else said say it again. Our obedience is the value offered in the covenant we entered into with God when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I go a little asterisk there because this morning when I was reading it, I figured I needed to just back up a little bit and explain a little bit more what I was thinking. A covenant is a contract. Same thing. Okay? And maybe we understand contract a little better because we hear that word maybe more often in our life, right? For a contract to be binding on both parties must provide and deliver value. For example, if you hire a painter to paint your house, then you pay the man. Value is exchanged, right? In this case, this contract, this covenant was written by God. And in common practice of contract law, the writer of the contract is responsible for the accuracy and content of the contract. I doubt there's any errors in our contract. So God wrote our contract, and so I happen to believe his word is true, and so it's my obligation to do my part in the covenant and return the value of the contract, okay? And so I didn't get a chance to put it in here, but I want to, if y'all want, and it won't be on a slide, but if y'all want to turn to Romans 12 in your Bibles, if not, I'm going to read from the Message version real quick, because it kind of expanded a little bit, maybe give us a little bit of the, get rid of the these and thous and help us understand that. So here's what God says in Romans 12. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Excuse me. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, that reads to me like the culture should make us feel uncomfortable, right? If we're feeling uncomfortable in the culture, then we probably got our mind focused on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. That sounds like, hey, I'm going to give you a commandment. I need you to do something. I want you to follow that. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, that is true. We don't have enough time for me to tell some of those stories about my life. God brings the best out of you. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Okay? That's that transition from a natural human being to a spiritual human being. So let me just pause for a second and let me be clear because I realize maybe we could be going down a path I don't want to. There is nothing we can do, okay, to gain our salvation. It is all a gift by God's grace. Amen. Ah, oh, yeah, amen, yeah. However, once we receive that gift, we essentially sign a contract. We enter into a covenant with our Creator by declaring our faith and belief on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:10 tells us, a lot of us know this, right? For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So there's nothing you can do. There's no deed, right? It's clear right there. Believing in our heart and declaring our faith is our covenant promise to follow Christ. We have become a new creation, being sanctified in the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. We are no longer natural disobedient, but spiritual obedient beings. 1 Corinthians 2:14 starts. This is an excerpt, okay? This is a long passage. But people who are not spiritual cannot receive these truths from God's Spirit. I ask the question, what are these truths? Conclusion, basically, they're God's commandments, right? It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Our actions in obedience to Jesus' commands are evidence or fruit of our salvation. James tells us, you can't have a sermon without mentioning James, right, folks? James tells us the absence of good deeds displays an absence of faith. Paul tells us the presence of our faith is displayed by our good deeds. It's a potato, either way, right? If we're not following God's commands, maybe we're not really in tune. So, I think as we deal with this culture, and I'm sure it's been true for 7,000 years or almost 7,000 years, I believe that misperception is a deception. If we really think about it, deception is what allows us to sin, right? We just think it's something different than it should be. And since that's our nature, we kind of fall into it. There's absolutely no way we can follow all the laws and the rules, guidelines in the Bible without supernatural help, mercy, and grace from our Lord and Savior. The enemy knows this, the devil knows this, and has created an illusion in our culture, maybe in our family dynamic, and most certainly within the church, that we must be good to receive our blessings. The enemy may even bring to mind scripture like Deuteronomy 28 that describes blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Blessings in verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the world. Or curses, verse 15. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands, all these curses will come to overwhelm you. That's clear. Do good, God gives you stuff. Do bad, and God takes it away. That's the wrong context, though. Completely the wrong context. And with that wrong perspective, and knowing one cannot be perfect in obedience in our power, one might say, well, why bother? Why bother trying? I can't do it all, and there it is. There's scripture that's telling me God's not going to bless me. The enemy twists that into our mind. He uses other scripture, too, into a perception that sounds something like this late 20th century proverb that most of you in here will recognize, okay? If you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. If you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. Okay? Now, Pink Floyd was a British rock band that coined this lyric in a song so old now it's called a classic. I guess that makes many of us here in this room classics. Also, let's wear that badge pretty proudly. I'm just going to say, and I have limited experience with British cuisine, but I've had a little bit, and I think I can back this up. The meat they're talking about in those lyrics was probably not so good. I'm thinking it might be like spam. Now, that's apologies to those of you that like spam, okay? But in my mind, it's like, it's not prime rib, you know, and it's not chicken. It's coming out of a can. So maybe it's not so good. So I think they might have come up with that. So this cultural pink proverb, I'm calling it, tells us we must do something to get something. You got to eat that meat before you're going to get your pudding. This misperception is the deception. Our culture, our families, and our churches tend to reinforce this. So example, let's talk about culture. Let's talk about Pink Floyd. The title of that song, I think, if I remember correctly, is We Don't Need No Education. Okay, enough said. What's really sad is a lot of us listen to that song over and over and over, right? But those are all stories for another day. We can one-up each other on. How about that? Okay, our families. How many of us did those chores just to get the allowance dollars, excuse me, voice is cracking, or to get those car keys from dad or mom? Not to please them, as Scripture guides us to do, but to get something, right? The church, okay? How many of us feel that if we come to church on Sundays, volunteered for some church events, maybe joined a Bible study, then we were safe, man. We're going to heaven. God will bless us. It's a quid pro quo, right? No, that's wrong. It's Deuteronomy taken out of context. It's God the genie in a bottle. Good Christians going to heaven, right? No, it's not right. None of it's right when you look through a biblical lens. Again, misperception is our deception. So what's the antidote to this poisonous pink proverb cultural misrepresentation? Who can say poisonous pink proverb three times real fast? Okay? We must let our hearts be changed by the Holy Spirit. Our minds need to be transformed by Jesus so that the pink proverb instead reads and sounds maybe something like this. Yum! Dad has more pudding for dessert. I can't wait to eat all that meat and make Dad happy. Or quinoa, if you're Joey Robinson. Or pumpkin soup, if you're Ruth Ann Foe watching on Facebook. The blessings and gifts are set aside for us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our pudding, our dessert, was made long ago and has been waiting for us to receive it. It never gets old or stale. It's forever tasty and comforting, and is sweet and fresh forever. Man, I hope it's more like cheesecake, because I'm not a pudding fan. Our desire to learn and understand all of God's commandments and to be obedient should come from a heart that is grateful, because the pudding's already made for us, and this is what pleases our Creator. Doing the chores of obedience to grab a little pudding really limits our serving of the dessert, because we can never do enough to get all the pudding. Yet the pudding, all of the pudding is there for us. Yet our dad, God our Father, is waiting to gift all of that to us if our hearts are right. So I want to speak to the believers here listening today in this room and online. If you're present because you think you have to be here or tune in online just to please God and thus maybe get some blessings, I might suggest a heart check is in order. You may be munching on spam, just hoping you can get enough down so you can get a little bit of pudding. That's a very hard row to hoe, brothers and sisters. Been down that path. Be glad to share that story with you, anybody, anytime. Now, if you're here because you love and have tasted that pudding and are willing to do whatever it takes to keep that pudding in your life, even if it means eating quinoa or pumpkin soup, then I suggest protect your heart and continue your walk of sanctification with Jesus. We pray, we worship, we read, we fellowship. Now, for those of you that are unsure whether or not you're a believer, you're just trying Jesus out for a little bit, see what it's like. If you're not sure and you want to know more and experience this pudding I'm talking about, then I encourage you to reach out today. If you're online, DM me, Pastor Deb, church, transformation page. If you're here and you want to talk, I'm available. Pastor Deb's available or somebody else you're comfortable with. Let us show you what eating, putting in the kingdom is like. Rather than spam, quinoa, or pumpkin soup. So, I'm going to close here. But I want to close with a story. Something that happened to me that really drove this point home. It happened recently. As I mentioned, I was hospitalized on September 17th with pneumonia. My ER nurse, I'm just going to call her K, like the letter K, because I don't really have permission to tell her story. We were talking. She had a big old earring on her ear, big cross. And so we took up a conversation, and obviously it turned to Jesus. She began to witness her life to me, her salvation and redemption by her Lord Jesus, her term, that rescued her from her past. Now, she described herself, without much detail, as a former bad girl, party girl, and she knows that Jesus supernaturally came into her life, rescued her from that life, and put her in this position where she's at right now. A nurse, okay, on the front line in this pandemic. Hospital was a mess that day. Everything was filled up. I was in an ER room for 2 days before they could find me a bed. That's how the madness that it was in the middle of that Delta variant rush. So as a nurse, many of you know, because of some of the mandates, she was mandated to have her COVID shots. Well, she took her first shot, and she shared with me that sometime after her first shot, she had a miscarriage. She didn't give me the details around that, okay? But she had tears in her eyes as she told the story. Did that vaccine cause or contribute to her misfortune or loss? We don't know. We don't know, okay? And she wasn't saying it did. And that's another subject, but we can talk about that later too. But the proximity and timing certainly caused some legitimate fear and worry surrounding her grief, right? I think it would anybody, right? So nearer to crying, Kay said that if she was required to take the second shot, regardless of the risk, another loss, a medical issue, or even death, she would take that shot. Because her blessing and her gift, her pudding, was that she knew Jesus wanted her doing exactly what she was doing that day. Nursing to, witnessing to, and praying for the ill. She's the only one in that hospital that prayed for me, prayed with me, except a friend of mine that came by. Her meat, her quinoa, her pumpkin soup, is doing whatever it takes to please her Lord, regardless of her risk, to keep that job, because that's what her master, her Lord, and Savior has commanded her to do. That, my brothers and sisters, is obedience. Do we have that conviction within us to keep our covenant? I want to thank you. God bless everybody. I don't know what's next. I don't do this part.